right, kids, you may go. Psalm chapter number 13 this morning. Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter number 13. By the way, I'm looking forward to tonight as we jump into the home and as we jump into focusing on the family. I will say this by way of wanting y'all to come back this evening. I don't believe that our churches nowadays speak enough on the home. And to be quite honest, many of us would look at someone else and think their home is all put together or everything is working the way that it's supposed to. However, we all look on the outward appearance, and that's how we make our judgment calls. And we don't know what's truly going on behind closed doors and the struggle, because it's real. And so my desire is that we have strong families here, and so that requires me especially, but all of us together to talk about and work on the family. I'll be honest, it grieves my heart to hear story after story about families that are broken, families that are what we would think that maybe it's off the rails, and some of the situations in life have just got them off into left field. And I would say the greatest thing that we can do is stay close to God in our lives and raising our children close to Him and taking those steps. But sometimes we just need to go down memory lane together and relearn or refamiliarize ourselves with a lot of things that we've already heard. You're not going to hear anything new tonight, I don't believe, or this month. But sometimes we just need a good reminder. Sarah even said it yesterday. We were sitting there talking, and you know, we go through it as well as everyone else. And she said, sometimes it's good just to hit a reset button. It's good just to hit a reset button. And we all need to be reset. And we all need to have our focus put back in the direction. So I just ask that you would come this evening. But this morning, I'll tell you, I've struggled over this one, and I don't know why. But it's been a little bit of a harder one to try to formulate, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be this morning. I don't know. A lot of times I can pretty clearly put my thoughts together. So I ask this morning that you would bear with me. I've studied this one over and over. I was up early this morning going over it And I have peace to preach it, but it's like my hands and palms are sweaty right now because I'm afraid, not afraid, like I know I can't do it. It's Jesus that does it, but the message, I want it to come across right, and that's what my desire is. If I had a title, though, for this morning's lesson or this morning's message, it would be From How Long to How Awesome. From How Long to How Awesome. We'll read chapter 13 together, but before we get there, you see that it is David gives this psalm to his chief musician or his song leader. And so this is one of his songs. And he gives it to Asaph or one of his other song leaders. And as they get into it, I can just imagine the start of this chapter. Yesterday we went out to Prairie High School and I watched a band for the first time, high school band and competition. And that was the first time I ever watched anything like that outside of on a TV where it's a halftime show. And I have to admit it was pretty amazing watching it. And what I enjoyed watching, of course, Kira and I almost said Stella, but nope, Stella was down the road from me, but Jasmine, and I might or might not have embarrassed them a little bit. I can't confirm or deny. I don't think there's video of it out there. However, when it came to award ceremony time, the conductors for each group came out, And when it came time for leading each band, the conductors led it, even from multiple ones, from multiple sides, so that everyone could see who's in charge of the music. And so it's pretty wild that I am reading one of David's songs that he gives to his song leader to sing at church. And I can just imagine David's like, hey, in a couple of weeks, or maybe in a month, I want everyone singing this song, and then we're gonna sing it together. But can you imagine a song called How Long? In this chapter, you'll see that David is going through some dark times in his life, and at the end it ends well, but there is some lamenting, seems to be some forsaking, seems to be some aloneness. So when I read this, I see that this song starts dark and slow, as one that seems to have no hope. And then he tells his song leader, but by the time you get to the end, you will see just how awesome our God truly is. We'll read the verses and we'll pray. Psalm chapter 13, how long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray. Just for the next few moments as we just simply walk through this chapter together. Lord, as we stay very close to the scripture, Lord, but there's things that we can learn. Lord, as we talked last week about that you are enough. Lord, I believe this is another snapshot inside of David's life where it seems like he's all alone, he's destitute, he's forgotten, almost like he has fallen out of favor with you for a short time, that his enemies have it all together, that his enemies rejoice at his calamities and the things that he's going through. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would empty me and that you would speak through me the words that I'm only supposed to say. Lord, I pray that you'll meet with us. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. When I was reading this chapter, I like to go back and break the chapter down little by little, piece by piece, so I understand it better. I'm very simple-minded in that. I want to be able to read it, understand it, chew on it, and work on it, and work on it, and work on it. But this is definitely a song. I don't know how they put it to music. I don't know what it sounded like when it went to music. I don't know how long it took them to put it to music and to play it. I don't know what the circumstances are behind David here in this situation. This chapter is not particularly attached to him running for his life and hiding in the cave of Adullam. Even though those were dark times, in Psalm 142, he said, I looked on my left hand and my right hand, and behold, no one was there for me, there with me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And so David, of course, you know, he's got one of these, he writes a chapter that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And you see that encouragement this morning in this chapter when you get to the end, but he didn't start at the end and write the psalm backwards, I don't believe.
I believe this could have been multiple days of meditation where he was writing out things, and as he was pouring out his heart to God, he said, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? How long do I have to take counsel in my soul?" Basically, he was lamenting over and over, and he was thinking, "God, why does it feel like you're so far away from me? Why does it feel like you're a million miles away from me, and I have no one to talk to? I have no one to pour out my complaint to. I have no one to give my hurts and my struggles to." And he says, "I even feel like I'm lamenting so bad and I'm struggling so much, it feels like that you're being unkind to me or you're not even in the room with me." And he says, I'm struggling here. And he even talks and goes further about his enemies that would seem to cheer at his demise or that would push him to a limit and would cause him to go on the run and to hide himself. And he said, "They even rejoice over me." No doubt, Saul was one who did chase him. Saul wanted him dead, and he probably proclaimed it multiple times. "If you see David, tell him I'm coming after him." And so David, in his life, as he's running and feeling like even he might be running physically or he might be running spiritually, he sees, he's living like I'm struggling. It seems like, "God, you're not there for me right now. You're a million miles away. God, you're not caring for me like I think you should. And even my enemies are excited that I'm struggling. My enemies are excited to know that I am not getting anywhere." And he could have probably very well been thinking, "They're doing a lot better than I am." And he said, "How long do my enemies have to be exalted over me? Are you hearing me, God?" It's like we say now, it's like the microphone on. "God, are you there? Can you hear me? I'm struggling here. I don't know what to do, where to go." And then it says, David asked him to lighten my eyes. This is where it starts to take a change. He says, "I want you to illuminate my eyes. Show me that it's not all in vain. Show me that these trials don't last forever. Show me that you're there. Illuminate my eyes. Reveal to me. I've been lamenting." David said before, he has made his bed has been full of tears. But he says, "After those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." He says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy." He said, "You know what, God, there's been times where I have questioned it, but let me tell you, I can continue to wallow in it. I can continue to write verse of this song after verse, but it's not going to do me any good." And this word mercy here, of course, is talking about his loving kindness. That's not how we started the chapter. He didn't start the chapter with the loving kindness. He started with the chapter with feeling abandoned. And it was horrible. He said, "How long?" I can imagine his struggle there. Then he said, "My heart shall rejoice in salvation." I can imagine him sitting there saying, "You know what? I can't control all of my situations. I can't control all of my circumstances, ones that I can't even control, ones that I'm not in charge of." But he said, "You know what? I can be thankful and I can trust in your loving kindness." I can see him saying, "I'm going back to the day that you reached down and changed my life, that day of salvation." And then it says, "And you have dealt bountifully with me." By the end, I could imagine that he was starting to shout a little bit at the goodness of God. He realized that I can go through this life living like, God, where are you at? I feel like everyone is trampling over me. Everyone else is succeeding around me. Even my enemies are doing better than I am. But he says, you know what? I need to stop that thinking, reverse it to a 180 degrees, and start walking the other way. That, you know what, God, I do trust you, and I've trusted in you time and time again, and you have been enough. You have been what I've needed. You've been where I needed. You've been how I needed. I'm thankful for your loving kindness. And he says, such loving kindness, I remember the day that you reached down and changed my life. Like that song sings, when he reached down his hand for me. He had to reach way down for me. And then he says, you know what? Come to think of it, not only have you changed my eternal destination, but you've been with me all the way. And then he says, man, what am I talking about? You have dealt bountifully with me. You have been what I've needed this whole time. You've been more than what I've needed this whole time. But I've let a few circumstances, I've let a few situations of the day, I've allowed a few things to step in and cloud my view of who you truly are. So I don't know how they would write this song and sing it. I really don't. But I do believe there's things that we can learn from this short chapter. Maybe we, oftentimes going through the fires of trials of life, we often are guilty of saying, God, have you forgotten me? David felt that way. It feels like everything that I'm going through, life is crazy. I know you're there, but even if you are there, you seem like you're in another world, or you're busy with the neighbor next door and all of his situations. Maybe you would ask, God, are you hiding from me? It's been a long time since I've seen you. It's been a long time since we've had that communion. Friends share things face to face. And he's like, maybe you're like, I haven't been able to share with you the things face to face because you don't even seem like you're in my zip code. You ever got up in the day and immediately you were beat down with the thought, today is already a loss. Today is already a loss. Before I get out of my bed and put my feet on the ground, I'm thankful God woke me up. However, I'm already at a loss. The things that you went to sleep about before that were maybe tormenting you or distracting you or terrorizing you or haunting you, you fell asleep and you fell asleep late praying, God, would you help me? But you tend to wake up the next day and the first thought that comes into your mind is that captivating thought. And that thought cripples you. And that's what David was talking about here. Everywhere I turn, it doesn't seem like you're there. I go to bed and I wake up to the same problem. Other people seem like they're ahead. Other people look like they're fine. Other people act like they're fine. And my world is falling apart. Have you ever just got up and said, I'm at my wit's end? Wit's end. Nothing is helping. Nothing I can do to change the tide. And in fact, my heart is just wrecked. You might even have seen people who seem to be enemies. They're exalted over you. And you ask God, hey, why do they get this? Why do they get that accolade? Why does it seem like they're being blessed? And all it does is just add the heaps of the stress of this world on top, and the fire grows, and the burden grows, and the trial grows, and the disappointment grows, and the frustration grows. And somehow other things or other people or other situations are in control of your spirit. And you feel like you're so broken sometimes that you're not even in control of your own spirit. I heard someone say not too long ago to me, he said, I feel like I'm looking at myself from the outside, like I'm watching my life play out in front of me. And it feels like I'm so disconnected that it's like I'm in another world watching my life play out on like a TV show. I just don't feel right. My life is, it might be somewhat put together, but really on the inside I'm dying, I'm struggling, I'm fighting, and it even looks like I'm watching myself on TV. It just feels so numb or out of place. But what I can encourage you in today, knowing that what turned David can turn us too. David just had to stop and say, you know what? I can continue going down this and write verse after verse, but I'm going to stop. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to visit those times where he has been, again, more than enough. Because this is where he turns that how long sorrowful song into a how awesome God. You know, it also would do our hearts good just to revisit our salvation. It would do us a good time to visit those times that he did step in. It would do our hearts and our life good to remember everything that he has brought you through. And then it says, I will sing unto the Lord. It's a good time to put a good song inside of your heart. It's a time that I can say, you know what? Life might not be giving me the apples that I want. I'm getting lemons and they are spoiled anyways. They taste bad. But you know what? I can be glad that God is good to me. I can be glad about my salvation. And then you know what? I can choose a song to sing. I can choose to sing about the goodness of the Lord. I can choose to sing those songs that lift up my spirit. I can sing those songs that encourage me instead of tearing me down. I can choose to make decisions to make a better outcome with him. Because we can choose, and we do choose what life to live. We do choose what roads to take. And we do choose how that road looks. So no matter if I'm going down a bad road, a rough road, a hard road, a disappointing road, I can still walk down the road singing, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. I can sing songs that encourage my spirit. And that's where David takes that turn and says, hey, stop. I've got to turn around. I can't keep doing this. I'm going to stop walking this way. I'm going to focus this way, and I'm going to change my thinking. Most Christians struggle in changing their thinking. If I was to set a cup up here and it was half full or half empty, and we could probably have an anonymous vote on either side, we'd put the cup and it would say half empty or half full. Do you know there's people that would vote half empty? That's how they choose to look at life. I don't choose to look at life half empty. I choose to look at life as half full. I want to be on the positive side. When I can't control my situation, I don't want to think about every negative that keeps me kicked down. I want to think about the good that brings me out of that situation. I remember in the hospital, the doctor said, Josh, if you wake up and you have a port in your chest, it's cancer, period. It felt like I had just went to sleep, right? They talk to you. Count backwards. 10. That's all I remember. Then I remember her, well, hello. And I thought that I had just fallen asleep. But they had already put in my mind the thought, if there's a port there, it's cancer. They woke me up. First thing I did was felt. Had to port. They say that when someone is sick as a whole, the best thing they can do is keep a positive outlook. When a person's body is destroying itself around itself, the best thing one can do is to think positive. And not into this magical feel-good kind of hocus-pocus, but just our demeanor, our attitude, and how we live. I was excited at the possibility that I would be completely healed. I had to take a crazy road to get there. And I can't tell you that I had all rosy days. I can't tell you that I had all happy days. But I knew that it was very important for my sanity to be positive and to look at the positive side of things. Because if I focused on the positive, it keeps the negative at bay. I know what it's like. I had a teenager, Shannon. She visited a couple of weeks ago, and Brother Jerry was here. She sat right there. She had the same cancer I had. You know how much easier it was for her to walk through that I had just walked through it a few years before? But you know what's crazy is you see people that are struggling like that, especially with cancer. And you can walk up to that person and you can encourage that person. Now be careful of some of the things you said. One guy said, hey, I know a guy that died after his last round of chemo. Like things not to say as I'm going for my last treatment. That's a half empty kind of guy. But to be able to see people that are struggling, to be able to walk into a room or to be with them and know where they're at and to help them. But it takes looking at things in a negative or a positive way that determines your aptitude or your altitude. Or your altitude is determined by, aptitude is determined by your altitude, attitude, something like that. The better I think, the higher I go. You know what I mean? I've got that all butchered up in sermon audio for the last 15 seconds. Now it's going to act like I've just got word salad coming out of my mouth. I know someone else that can speak word salad, but we won't go there. But David here said, I'm tired of looking at life half empty. I'm tired of focusing on the negative. And David says, but God, who I trust, is rich in mercy. He is loving kindness. He is everything. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that gave me a new home, a new destination. I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to sing songs that uplift and praise. And then he said, you know what? I think he started writing out, if there was another chapter, not that we add to the canon of Scripture, a few more verses, that he was probably started listing out some of the things that God has been bountiful to him with. Those things that encouraged him. See, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm sure he started talking about those things and looking at those things and reading through those things. And talk about turning a sorrowful song into a happy song. Did you know, though, we're going to have good days and bad days. We're going to have days where we wake up and think everyone's against us. We're going to wake up and have days where we think God's a million miles from us. We're going to have days that we just think that nothing I do matters, nothing I can help, nothing I can do, nothing I. But everything that he can do brightens my way. It lights my way. You know, there's going to be days where you even question yourself, am I doing this right? How about this, when you get so discouraged, does it even matter anymore? It's the life I'm stuck with, does it even matter? How about this one, why should I? I just don't even care anymore. How about this one? I had one of my teenagers not too long ago tell me. They said, sometimes, Brother Josh, I feel like I make life worse. What a statement for a teenager to make. I feel like I make life worse. But maybe if that's you today, you can decide to live in that frustrated part of verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Or you can say, you know what? You truly do deal bountifully with me. You truly are everything that I am looking for. You are truly that one that has saved me, that has changed me, that has protected me. The problem is we only see life from our vantage point. And we don't know all the things that God has protected us from. We just oftentimes focus on the bad. So when you start to think about those things that are crazy and you're all alone, number one, you're not alone. If you're a born-again, saved Christian of God, you're not alone. Your flesh would want you to believe that. Satan definitely wants you to believe that. Why? Because it throws you off for everything else. But realize you're not alone. Two, realize God is there. Just because he seems like he's silent doesn't mean that he is absent. He's there. Just because you seem like he's not answering you right then and there, he's there. And then start rejoicing in what he's done for you. If I spend time thanking God for what he's done for me, it changes my mode, changes my mood, changes my direction. Why? Because I want to be one that can take crazy life situations, look at things half full, and realize, you know what, you've got this. You've got this. You know, I would encourage y'all, for real, pray for each other. There's some in here that might be going through the craziest time in their life. And you might be that one that helps take those needs to Jesus on their behalf. See, we don't know what's going on the inside of each one of us. We can't even start to fathom what's going on. And I'm not trying to minimize the issue that you have. But I do know that when we change our focus and we change our thought process, we can live in the muck and the mire of our thoughts all we want. We can live in that. It's easier to live in that. This world we live in trains everyone to live in that world. But God doesn't. But back to my thought, pray for one another. You know where they sit. You can close your eyes and see everyone in this auditorium. They sit in the same spot. Pray for each other. Pray for God's protection for each other. Pray for God's love for each other. Pray for God's grace and his mercy and his long suffering and his gentleness and his weakness. The fruits of the Spirit. You want to know what a good Christian is? It's one who operates within the bounds of the fruits of the Spirit. Because that compels me to tell others about Jesus. That compels me to think more about just my world, but the world around me that we go to church with. That compels me to do what is right because I want to do what's right. I want to have such a relationship with Jesus that he says, hey, I know you're having a bad day, but let's turn that around a little bit. I want him to be able to speak to me and speak into me and say, hey, if you don't listen to me now, I'm just going to be quiet for a few days. Until you're ready to just be quiet and listen. Like I said, I have no idea where this psalm originated from. Probably just another one of David's days. What started out to be crazy and wild frustrating. He ended it with, God, I trust you. You're good to me. And in fact, you're so good to me, I've got another song, another verse I'm going to write. That same God we have that David had. And there's scripture that says David encouraged himself in the Lord. What's one thing, one way you can do it? Get into the Bible. You're struggling with life. Get into the Bible. Just read. Let it read to you. Let it read over you. But then just make a praise list. Instead of a oh my list or a holy cow list, how about a thank you Jesus list? Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for focusing on me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for everything good in my life. It's because of you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks for all things. That was my life verse I chose in high school. I've held on to that verse a lot. That means I'm thankful for the good, I'm thankful for the bad, and I'm thankful for the ugly. Because if the Bible says be thankful in all things, it's like when you tell your kids to go clean the room. Did you clean all of it? Well, yes, kind of. Is that a yes or a no? When he says, hey, I'll say this, and then Jasmine, if you want to make your way to the piano, I'll say this. When he says, be thankful for all things, that means those crazy things that you don't want to be thankful for, be thankful for. He didn't give a list underneath it that says, asterisk, see bottom of the page, footnote. I'm allowed to give thanks for all of these things except this in my life, this in my life, and this in my life. We can look at every situation and see the half full or half empty. David said, it's been a crummy day. It's been a horrible week, God. Haven't heard from you. Feels like you're a million miles away. My enemies seem like they're doing well. And in fact, my enemies are rejoicing at my calamity. But I trust in your mercy. I will thank you for my salvation. I will sing a song to you. God, you are bountifully, overly, wonderfully good to me. That's the chapter. Goes from despair to wow. It goes from how long to how awesome. It goes from why to I'm just going to trust you. And he asks each one of us these questions. Where's your focus? In your day-to-day life, where's your focus? Are you focusing on those things that just rip you apart day after day? Or you're like, you know what, God, I trust you. God, I feel like you're a million miles away from me. He says, yeah, but yeah, do you trust me? You know my loving kindness is enough. And you say, but God, you don't understand my situation or my circumstance. He says, that's okay. You think I don't, but I do. Come over here. Think about that time that I saved your soul from a dying, going to hell. And you're like, but you don't understand my enemies. They just hate me. He says, they're going to hate you because they hate me. The Bible says if the world loves you, they hate me. And so they're going to hate you. The things of this world should hate you, by the way. And so he says, hey, I just want you to focus on what I've done. And then you're like, but you, do you truly get me? Are you even there? He says, you know what, though? I've been there the whole time. Stop living in the how long and get to the how awesome. Stop living in the what am I doing wrong to God. I need you to show me. I need you to lead me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I look at him as one who leads me, it can't be a part-time leading. It can't be, I'm only going to let you lead and guide and direct me when it's convenient for me. It can't be, I'm going to let you lead me when it works for me. I don't want it to ever be said of me that I walked out with, I came here to church and fellowship, but I left my Christianity in the pew and I went and lived the way that I wanted to and then expect God to step in. I want him to be with me every second of every day. I want my focus to be on him. I want my desires to line up with his desires. I want my life to be in line with his way and his desire. But I can't do it when all I think about is poor, poor, pitiful me. God, he says, hey, come over here. Come over here. You can look at life, Christian, all day in the negative, half-empty glass, but let me tell you, it's much better over here. You don't understand the trial I'm facing. You know what? I might not, but he does. And he's just waiting for you to come to him and just follow what his direction is. Not what a man-made direction is, but what he wants you to do. David laid it out clearly. He said, I'm going to trust in your mercy. I'm going to revisit my salvation because you're the God of my salvation. I'm going to sing a new song to you because you've dealt bountifully with me. You're good enough. You're more than enough. You're what I need. And that's what David is saying to each of us this morning. He said, I've had those thoughts. Don't live those thoughts. He said, I've lived some of the things you might be struggling with. Don't live there. Come, go to Jesus. Don't let your chapter be that you're waiting for verse number 6. Go ahead and jump straight to verse number 6 and say, God, you're everything. From how long to how awesome. Where are you at this morning? As you bow your head and close your eyes, honestly ask yourself, where am I at? Am I there in the, God, how awesome you are all the time? And ask yourself honestly, am I the Christian I should be for him all the time? Do I make it important to spend time with him? Is he a priority? I preached this week to about 50 young people in Reynolds. And I told them that they are going out to play competition. And I said, how many of you enjoy second place? None of them said they enjoyed second place. That they were going for first place and nothing less. I took them over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, where Jesus says, through the writing of Paul, that in all things, by me they consist. By all things, and in all things, that I would get the preeminence, that I would get first place. That should be our prayer and our desire today is he gets first place. We don't play sports for second place. We don't play second place in raising a second place family, do we? God wants us to put him first. God wants us to keep him first. But you know what? That doesn't stop those struggles and trials. But instead of spending so long at the how long part, go to the end and work your way backwards. Get him involved. Be thankful for the situation at hand. How about that one? That's crazy. To be thankful for those trials and struggles. But it's what's asked of us to do. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you would be with us today. Lord, the things that you have shown me personally out of this passage of Scripture, Lord, I pray that the thought came across the way that it was supposed to, that you gave to me. Lord, that we all find ourselves in seasons of struggling and seasons of despair. But Lord, that we wouldn't live in a how long, but we'd live in the how awesome. And we'd just go running straight to you. Start thanking you for what you've done and how you've provided and how you've made provisions and how you've protected us. Lord, I want to be a Christian that just is sold out, surrendered to you. Lord, that I would really desire to have you lead me . Lord, thank you for being so good to us. Lord, I pray that you'll be with the service this afternoon. Lord, as we jump into our families, and Lord, how important our families are, and Lord, how we want our families to succeed. Lord, I'm desiring that you would meet with us. Lord, I pray that you'd just give us a wonderful afternoon. Be with those that are going out to raise money for Africa this afternoon, and then Lord, be with us as we meet for our service. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.